Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Ayin. We left off on Daf Samach Tesam and Beis. We are at the two dots with the story of Ilfa Talinafshe. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and the Ili Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom. It's also sponsored by Rosie and Mark Friedman, in honor of their son, Harav Yosef Yeshayo. I see the correction was made. Harav Yosef Yeshayo receiving smicha from Dayan Matisyo, Daich of the Eda Charedis in Ramat Shlomo. You made it? Yeah, okay. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. And today what we're going to discuss is the following. First, we're going to talk about the story of Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan and the concept of mitzvah l'kayim, divrei hames. Then the parak is going to end with a discussion about the ability of children to make kinyanim and whether it changes if there's an apotropos in the picture, then maybe there's no need to grant the children the ability to make kinyanim if there's an apotropos in the picture. And that will, Be'ez Hashem, bring us to the end of the sixth parak. And then we will begin the seventh parak, parak hamadir, which, as they say, Ksubis is a Shas Katan. Parak HaMadir is Maseches Nedarim in that Shas Katan. So in Parak HaMadir, the Mishnah is going to start with various Nedarim that may impact a marriage and require a couple to get divorced and how much time we give them before they get divorced. The Gemara is going to talk about how it's even possible to talk about a husband taking a neder to remove his obligation to support his wife. If he's meshubat to her, the neder shouldn't be chal to begin with. So the Gemara is going to try to figure out, the Mishnah says that in certain cases the neder is chal, but he could be mamin aparnis. He can't support her because he took the neder. Neder is chal, but he could have someone else take care of it. Someone else will support her in his stead. So the Gemara tries to sort of thread that needle. If the neder is going to be chal, it means he was authorized to take that neder. But how could it be then that that if the neder is chal, that a parnis is going to work? Because isn't a parnis just doing his bidding? Isn't that like his own shliach? So the Gemara is going to discuss. How could it be that you would ever need a parnis? Meaning, if the neder is chal, it means he was never really meshubater. So if he wasn't meshubater, what does he need a parnis for? It's the neder should be chal, and he shouldn't have to support her at all. And then we're going to talk about how a parnis works. Is a parnis working as a shliach of the baal? And then at the end of the daf, since in that context we're going to quote a Mishnah Maseches Nedarim, so at the end of the daf we're going to quote the entirety of that Mishnah in Maseches Nedarim and explain line by line what the Mishnah is trying to teach us. So let's begin Daf Samach Tesam Beis at the two dots, about six lines from the end of the page, with Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan. So Ilfa Tola Nafshe Bi Iskariya Demachusa. Ilfa went to the top of the mast of a sailboat and he sort of hung himself up there. And Amar, if anyone could tell me anything from a brisa that was authored by Rabbi Roshia from the most authoritative brisos, and I'm not able to show you a makor for that teaching of the brisa from a Mishnah somewhere, I'll jump off of this mast and I'll land in the water. I'll drown in the water. I'll sink in the water. So the Benayo writes, what do you mean you're going to commit suicide? How is that possible that he's allowed to commit suicide? So the Benayo says, no, he knew how to swim. That's why he didn't go to the roof of the Beis Medrash. If he would have gone to the roof of the Beis Medrash, that would have been a different story. But he knew how to swim. The rest of the story is told in the Gemara Maseches Tainis, meaning the background to the story is told in the Gemara Tainis Tav Chavalev, where it says that Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan were Tamidei Chachamim, and they were Aniyim, and then they changed their mind and they decided that they can't stay in learning. They have to go and earn a parnasa in order to fulfill the pasuk Eves ki lo yebcha evyon. So they went together, and while they were going, they rested next to a coastal ru'ua, like a wall that was about to cave in, and they sat down to eat. And two malachi asharis came, and Rabbi Yochanan heard that one of the malachim was saying to the other, "Let's make this coastal ru'ua fall on them so that they'll die, because they're leaving chayi olam and they're being osik in chayi shah." Here they were engaged in learning, and they're going to be engaged in parnasa. So the other one said, the other malach said, leave them alone, because one of them is going to be a gadol, and it's not his time to die yet. So Rabbi Yochanan overheard that conversation between the malachim, and he said to Ilfa, I think I'm going to go back to yeshiva, and I'll fulfill what the pasuk says, ki lo yachtal evyon mikerev ha'aretz. You know, that don't worry, it's not, there's always supposed to be evyonim. So the fact that I'm an evyon is just a fulfillment of that prophecy. So Rabbi Yochanan went back to learn. Ilfa went into business, and then Ilfa came from the place where he was doing schara, and they had appointed Rabbi Yochanan a Rosh Yeshiva, and they had given him a lot of ashirus, they had given him a lot of kavod. So when Ilfa came, so the Bnei Yair said, you know, it's too bad that you went out to do schara. I don't know, you're matzliach, not matzliach, or whatever matzliach he had. Rabbi Yochanan was more matzliach. He became Rosh Yeshiva and wealthy. So, you know, you guys were chavrusas in yeshiva. You could have been just as good. So Ilfa said, I am just as good. And he went to the top of the mast of the sailboat and said, let's see, anyway, I challenge anyone to try to find a single brisa that I'm not able to point you to the source. In the Mishnah, that story always resonates with me because that was when Rabbi Razner made Aliyah. That was the story that he always quoted that Gemara, and he said it's important to hear the voices. I heard the voices of the Malachim talking that it's time to come home. I was the Chavrusa, I was the Ilfa in the story. So Asa Hu Saba, came Tanale, and he taught this Brisa to Ilfa to try to see if Ilfa could find the Makar in the Mishnah. So the Brisa says Ha'omer Tnu Shekel Lebni B'Shabbos. So person who's about to die, and he appoints a trustworthy person to handle his estate, and he says, after I die, I want one shekel each week to go to support my son. But it turns out that inflation and delivery costs and supply chain, whatever the excuses they give, food started costing a lot more money. So nosin lahem sela. So now he has to give a sela, because that's what it takes in order to support him. But if the father says to the neman, that I only want you to give a shekel for each week, meaning he's being makbid that it never be any more than ein olsem ella shekel. Then you only give a shekel, and the rest of the child's mezonos is going to have to come from tzedakah. There is machlokas. There are those we showed him that hold that if he has to be nizor min tzedakah, then we can assume for sure the father didn't want that. He didn't want the child to be. To be nizam min atzdaka, it means that the child will be on his own. So let him work for it. Let him work to make up the difference. Or other acharim say no, that einoslam ela shekel. And if it takes, even if that means he's going to have to collect from tzedakah, he'll have to collect from tzedakah. V'imamar, but if a father says to the trustworthy person, im mesu yirshu acherim tachteyam, that if my children are no longer around to be able to receive this allowance from my estate, so then I'm telling you who's next in line. To receive the estate, well, once he appointed, he identified someone who would be next in line that he wants it to go to. Bein shamar tenu, bein shamar al titnu. Whether he said a lashon of tenu shekel lebni or he said al titnu ela shekel, either way, ein osnam ela shekel. We can't do more than a shekel because then it's at the expense of somebody else. When it's only about the child, so we can assess, well, how much does the child actually need? If you say tenu shekel, if it's al titnu ela, we know he's being makbid. But when there's another party. That whatever the kid is not going to get, that other party is going to get, so then we can never do more than the shekel that he had originally identified. So that's the brisa. So Ilfa, you're challenged, find me a Mishnah. So Ilfa said, that's easy. Hamani, who's the Tana that holds that al titnu lam el shekel means you only give one shekel, no matter how much food actually costs? Rabbi Meir, Dabra mitzvah l'kayim, divrei ames. That's rooted in the sheet of Rabbi Meir, where a Meir holds mitzvah l'kayim, divrei ames. And that's why in our Mishnah, we say that you do exactly what the father says, and you don't listen to the daughter. So that's based on it's all based on the same shita, our Mishnah, and that price is all based on the shita Shem Meir of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. Tosfos points out in Daf Pevav that the concept of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames is only a mitzvah midrabanan. It's not a din da'oraisa. However, the sholem meishiv in a tshuva in Madura Tlisa chelik gimel. Quotes a Ramban that from the pasuk that it's derived from the pasuk of Yaakov Avinu, Vayasu Banav Lo Kain Kasher Tzivam, that they did exactly Kasher Tzivam. So you see from there Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames. So it could be what he's trying to say is that it's a Daraisa, or it could be he's saying that's the Asmachta to which the Rabbanan attached. This din midrabanan. The Tashbetz writes in the Tshuva that mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames is not as broad as it sounds. Mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames sounds like it's saying, Whatever the mace's dying wishes are, that's what you have to fulfill. Not so, says the Tashbis. Says the Tashbis, that din you'll always find in Shas is always about money, and it's always about what to do with his estate. So it's a din in dinei nachalos, that just like we have al parak yesh nochlin in Masechta Babasa, of the dinim of Yerusha, of where things go when there's, just by default. So one of the dinim in dinei nachalos is that mitzvah lekayim divrei ames. So it's dafka din in dinei mamilis and a din in dinei nachalos. Shol Meshev writes in that tshuva that it's mitam gemilus chasadim. They have to be gomel chesed im amesim, which makes it sound like it's much broader than just a din in dinei nachalos. But be that as it may, that's what Ilfa identified as the basis for the brisa. Amar chesamaruk vahilchsa bein shah amar tnu bein shah amar al titnu noslem kol tzorcheim. Whether the father says, give a shekel to my child each week, or he says, don't give more than a shekel each week, only give a shekel each week. Either way, we give even more if that's what's required. Aye, how could you say that? Don't we pass on the mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames? If you're going to give more than a shekel, even when the father said, al titnu el a shekel, isn't that a violation of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames? That's only when it comes to other matters. The father certainly wants the child to have enough food to eat. Why then did he say to only give him a shekel if he really wants the kid to have enough food to eat? He's trying to encourage the child not to be lazy, that he should go out and earn a living, that he shouldn't need all that much. But if the child does need that much and he's unable to earn a living, he's unable to support himself, then the father certainly doesn't want the child to starve, and you give more than a shekel. So the Gemara brings another psak halacha that also emerges from our Mishnah. So tnan hasam hapu'utos, if you have young children, 8 or 9 years old, that they get the basic idea of transactions of buying and selling, mekhan mekach memkar memkar b'metaltalim. We grant them the ability to effect transactions on metaltalim, at least, at least when it comes to metaltalim, not by karka, because they're not allowed to sell karka until they're heavy base saros, or it's karka that they yorish until they're 20 years old, so it goes even longer. But at least by metaltan, already from the age of 8 or 9, samara from lo shanu ella shein shem apotropos. That ability that children have to affect kinyanim is only if there's no apotropos that the father had appointed to take care of the estate. Avol yeshem apotropos ein mechem nekach ve'ein memkrad mecher. But if there's an apotropos to take care of the estate, there's no reason to grant the children the ability to make kinyanim. The whole reason we grant the children the ability to make kinyanim is because if they can't make kinyanim, there's not going to be any way for them to support themselves. Here they have this big Yerusha they just got, but if they can't buy anything with it, then they're not going to be able to live. So at the age of 8 or 9, we allow them to make kinyanim. But if there's an apotropos that's taking care of them, there's an executor of the estate, there's someone that's a caretaker of the estate, there's someone that knows how to handle it, so then that person has to handle it, and the children do not have the right to be engaged in mekach u'memkar. So mimai, how do I know that din? So miduktani, ein maisa ketana klum. From the fact that it says in the Mishnah, ein maisa ketana klum. Our Mishnah is talking about where the father was mashlish the money by a trustworthy person, and the Mishnah says the child can't do anything. Ein maisa ketana klum. So don't you see from our Mishnah that if there's an apotropos, meaning just like in our Mishnah where there's a shlish, it's not exactly the same as an apotropos, it's even stronger than an apotropos, that then the child does not have the ability to engage. Says Gemara, no, maybe a shlish is different than an apotropos. Maybe when there's a shlish, that's different from an apotropos, because a shlish, it was given the money and was told exactly what to do with the money. Apotropos is given the money and told, take care of things, make sure they're taken care of. A shlish was told, spend money on this, and this is how much money you spend, meaning it's a much more specific instructions. So it could be that when it's by a shlish, the children can't do anything. But when there's an apotropos, that still gives enough freedom for the children to be able to make kinyanim. So it says, well, no, if that were the case, that there's a difference between shlish and an apotropos, im kein lisni aval b'ketana yasa shlish mashul shlish biyodo. It should say in the Mishnah that by a ketana, let the shlish do what the shlish needs to do, and the ketana can't do anything. My ein masa ketana klum, why would you use this much more broad language of ein masa ketana klum, children just can't do anything? So that implies that it's bigger than the case in our Mishnah. That ein masa Masa Ketan Klum is not only in the case of the Shlish in our Mishnah, but Shamin Afil Bialma, that even when it's an apotropos, Ein Maisa Ketan Klum. So when it's either a Shlish or an apotropos, it's Ein Maisa Ketan Klum, and the children only have Mechon Mechon Memker Memker when there's neither a Shlish nor an apotropos. So Adron Lach Matsiyasi Isha, now we move on to Perek HaMadir. So the Perek is going to discuss, we're certainly going to start with a discussion of someone who's Madir is Ishto, someone who makes a neder Hana against his wife, but in its broader sense, the Perek really covers four different topics. First, we're going to talk about Madir is Ishto, when do you have to get divorced, when do you pay the ksuba, when do you not pay the ksuba. Second, we're going to talk about those women who are Yotze below ksuba, who do something so terrible in the marriage that they lose their marriage and they don't collect their ksuba. Third, we're going to discuss Kiddush Taus or Nisu Taus. And fourth, we're going to talk about those men that we force them to grant a divorce to their wife, because they're doing something that's ruining the marriage, where we require them to divorce their wife. So says the Mishnah, Hamadir Sisha Milhanislo, a person takes a neder, a konam that konam Shainat Nenis Mishali, a konam that she's not allowed to get any hana'ah from his stuff, and he's trying to ask her any hana'ah that she would normally get from him, whether it's mizonos, whether it's tashmish. So Ajlo Shemiyom, if he designated a time frame that neder is going to be chal, a 30-day neder. You're not allowed to get enough from me from the next 30 days, so Yamid Parnas. So then we appoint a shliach to provide her with Parnasa, and that's it, and then the neder will be over, and then he'll provide her with Parnasa. But Yasumi Kane, but if he takes that neder anah for more than 30 days, then Yotzi v'yitin ksuba. Then he has to divorce her, and he's going to have to pay ksuba, and he can't just take care of it with a Parnas. And that's all with regard to mizonos. When it comes to tashmish, the husband is meshubad to tashmish. He can't ask the hana on her, and the neder would not be chal at all, and therefore he wouldn't have to be megarish her for a neder of just tashmish. Rabbi Yehuda says no. There's got to be different rules for Yisraelim and Kohanim. Meaning, when a kohen gets divorced, he has to think more carefully before going through with getting divorced than a Yisrael does. Because if a Yisrael gets divorced, he can always be machzir grushaso. If they decide to reconcile, he can be machzir grushaso, and that does happen all the time. When a kohen gets divorced, he can't be machzir grushaso. So he has to be very, very careful before he gives the get, and therefore we're going to give a little more leeway to the kohen. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar be Yisrael chodesh echad. When it comes Yisrael who asks his wife from getting hana from him, so then 1 month yichodesh echad yikayim, we don't make him divorce her. But shnayim yotzi v'itin ksuba. But if it goes already into the second month, shnayim doesn't mean two full months. Meaning if chodesh echad yikayim means any more than chodesh echad. So if it goes into the second month, then it's already yotzi v'itin ksuba. But if a kohen is madir his wife from getting any hana, we need to give a little more time. That if he's megarish his wife, he's not going to be able to remarry her, and he might regret what he's doing. So shnayim, if it's 2 months yikayim, so he has no mitzvah to be megarish her. Shlosha, but if it extends beyond the 2 months, yotzi v'yitin ksuba, then he has to pater her with the get, and he's going to give the ksuba. So the husband has the ability to also be mefer his wife's nedarim from the time of nisun until they get divorced, as long as the neder involves some sort of inui nefesh, that she takes a neder ana against rechitza or kishut, something that is a hygienic or a thing that a woman does, or something that's a physical bodily benefit. So she asks peros ha'olam on herself, or if she takes a neder on dvarm shebeino levena from tashmish and things like that, or things that cause eva beino levena, then the husband has the ability to be made for, but he can only be made for the neder biyom shamo. The halach is on the day that he hears about the neder, and the time that he hears about the neder is considered even if the neder was taken days earlier, when he hears about it, that's considered the day of the neder, and he's made for by saying three times mufar or batel or reinza neder. or something like that. So he has the other option, is he could be mekayim the neder right away. He could say kimi lichi, and any other mashmaus that he's interested in the neder. So, or if the day comes and goes and he didn't say anything, he wasn't mefer and he wasn't mekayim, then the neder is mekuyim me'eleha. So if he was mekayim the neder, and then he feels bad that he's mekayim the neder, so he could go to a chacham, and the chacham could be matir the hakamas neder, and then the husband could be made for the neder again. So madir is ishto. So with that backdrop, the Mishnah tells us if someone is madir his wife, which means, according to many of the Rishonim, he hears his wife asking herself in a neder, shlotitom echem nikola peros, that she's not going to have one particular type of pri, and the husband is mekayim that neder. He says, mekuyim lach, or he's shasak, and then 24 hours passes, yotzi v'yiten ksuba. So he has to divorce her right away and give her ksuba. Tosos points out in Daf Ayin Aleph that it's not that the neder was on kol haperos, because then the neder wouldn't have been chal at all. That it must be that it was min echad, it was one particular type of pri that was identified as the neder. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, again, we have to differentiate between Yisrael and the Kohen. Be Yisrael yom echad yekayim, that for yom echad, then he could be Mekayim, he doesn't have to divorce her till the end of the day, and that's the amount of time we give that he can still go to a chacham and be shoal on the neder. So in that first day, he still has the opportunity to take care of it. But shnayim, if it's ready the second day, yotzi v'yitin ksuba, then he has to divorce her and pay ksuba. Or b'kohen, but if he's a kohen, shnayim mekayim, we'll give him 2 days where he can still negotiate by going to a chacham to be shoal on the neder. But shloshe yotzi v'yitin ksuba, if it's ready a third day, then he has to be motzi v'yitin ksuba. Another case, Hamadir Sishtal Shal Tiskashet Be'echem Nikol Aminim. If a person is, again, it says the term Madir Sishtal, but again it means he's Mekayim a neder that his wife took, not to be Niskashet with one of the Minim that women are Miskashet in, meaning she says a particular type of perfume that I'm not going to get Hana'a from, and the husband is Mekayim that neder, Yotzi V'yitin Ksuba, he has to divorce her. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says that din, that's Yotzi V'yitin Ksuba right away, that's only by anios. That's with poor women that don't normally have too much kishutin, and shalon nasan kitzva. And it's a case where there is no set amount to her neder when that kishut is going to be usher until. But if there's a set zman that the neder is going to be chal until, then you wait until that zman. But uba ashiros, when you're dealing with wealthier women who have kishutim all the time, then shloshim yom. Then it's 30 days. More than 30 days, he's going to have to divorce her. So now, says the Gemara, we had said in our Mishnah, someone who's madir sishtam in the haneslov, until 30 days, he's ma'amid a parnis. So from the Mishnah, it sounds like the neder is chal, right? The husband has the ability to take this neder, not to provide her, that she's not allowed to get hana from him, including mizonos, that she's not allowed to get any support from him. So fret the Gemara, how's that neder chal? V'kivin the meshubada, if he's meshubad, he's chayiv to give mizonos to his wife. Hechi matzi madrila. How does he have the ability to take a neder that she's not going to get any hana? Kol kamine de mafkale l'shibuda? Does he have the ability to be mafkia mevatel through a neder, that which he's chayiv to do, that which he's chayiv to be mefarneser? The vatanan, after all, doesn't the Mishnah tell us on daf pehei kodem sheni yosel l'ficha that a woman who says to her husband that I take that I'm taking a neder, a konam, that any malacha that I do should be asr to you. He doesn't even need to be made for the neder, because all neder's not chal, because she has to give him the maisi adayim. She can't asr that on him. So I'm giving the mishab delay lav kol kamine demav kol shibuda hachanami giving the mishubala lav kol kamine demav kol shibuda. Don't you see a klal that emerges from there? The klal is that if you are obligated to provide something for somebody, you're not empowered to take a neder that would change that. So just like a woman cannot take a neder that her maisi adayim should be usher to her husband, the husband cannot take a neder that he's not going to give his wife mizonos. He's mishubah to give his wife mizonos. The Rishonim raised the question, what exactly is the Gemara's question over here? Why is that considered hafkas hashibud? The Mishnah tells us what the solution is. The Mishnah says, yamid parnes. So she's going to be supported. So the shibud is going to be fulfilled. He just can't provide it. So why is that considered a violation of something that he's not empowered to take a neder? Let him be mekayim the shibud al yedei a parnes. So the Rashba suggests that the Tana is only talking about the Tana is not talking about a chiyuv of being mamir aparnes. It's telling us that there would be no isser to be mamir aparnes, and that if it was a chiyuv to be mamir aparnes, then it would make a lot of sense that he's fulfilling the shibud that way. But when it says yamir aparnes, it's saying it's okay to be mamir aparnes, which makes it sound like it's also okay not to be mamir aparnes. But what do you mean? He's meshubater, and that's the Gemara's kasha. That's how the Rashba, at least in one mahalich, understands the Gemara's kasha. So answer the Gemara, El mitok sheyachalom elatzi ma'isi adayich b'mezon asayich, that since the husband can say to the wife that if I'm not going to provide you with mezonos, but you get to keep your ma'isi adayim, so nase ki omer la tzi ma'isi adayich b'mezon asayich. When he takes that neder, we treat it as if he's saying, you know what, let's undo this deal of our chiyuvim toward each other. I won't give you mezonos, you won't give me ma'isi adayim, I therefore have no chiyuv to you anymore, and therefore my neder is going to be chal. So ask the Gemara, wait a second, even if he didn't say beferish, it's as if he did say it. Meaning, as soon as he takes that neder, it's ki'ilu, he absolved himself of that deal, and therefore he's allowed to take the neder. If that's true, Rav Huna Merav says, that meaning, if we accept what Rav Huna Merav says, which Rav Huna Merav says, yicholi ish tomer lebaile in yizonos v'yeniyosa, that when it comes to the deal of the Maisi Adayim for the Mizonos, it's the woman who has the ability to back out on that deal. The woman could say, you know, my Maisi Adayim far exceeds any Mizonos that you're going to give me. I'm very proud of my ability to earn a living, and I will earn a living, and I don't need your Mizonos. And the whole purpose of giving the Maisi Adayim Tachas Mizonos was for her favor to be able to make sure that she gets supported. And she can say, no, thank you. I'm perfectly happy with that. So if you accept that, that Rav Huna Merav, that she has the ability to absolve each of them of their obligations toward each other, and she can say, I don't want that deal. Well, then why is it when a woman takes a neder, that anything I do, any of my ma'isi adayim, should become asubanah to you? Why does the Mishnah say that the husband doesn't even need to be made for, because the old neder is not chal? Lema, based on the logic that we're saying right now, why don't we just say, if you assume like Rav Huna, that a woman has the ability to say, I don't want your mezonos and I won't give you my ma'isi adayim, why don't we say, nasa kimisho merzol in mezonos v'yeniyosa? Then when she takes such a neder, it's as if she says in mezonos v'yeniyosa. Meaning you have this machlokas, who's allowed to back out on that deal of the mezonos tachas ma'isi adayim? But if you assume that the husband's allowed to back out on that deal, we just said that by taking the neder, it's ki'ilu he did back out on the deal, and therefore the neder is chal. So if you assume the other way, that it's the wife that's allowed to back out on that deal, why when she takes a neder, don't we say the same thing? That when she takes a neder, it's as if she did back out on that deal, and therefore the neder is not going to be chal. So we have to scratch that. We can't say like the first answer that it's as if he said that he's no longer going to accept her ma'isi adayim and therefore no longer provides her with mezonos. So don't say that if he didn't say it beferish. Ela ba'omer la. No, he actually said it. See ma'isi adayim mezonosayich. Not that it's when he takes the neder, it's ki'ilu he said it. No, the case is that he actually said it. Well, if he actually said it, see. And he therefore has no chiyuv to give her parnasa anymore. So now I understand why the neder is going to be chal. But the problem is iachi parnas lamali. But then why does he need to have a? Why does the Mishnah say to be mamir parnas to give her parnasa? He don't need to give her parnasa anymore. He already said I'm backing out on that. So bedelo sapka. Now the case is her ma'isi adayim is not enough to provide her with the mezonos that she needs and that the husband would have been obligated to provide her with, and therefore the husband has to make sure that a parnas is mashlim the difference. But if she's not able to make ends meet, so then the kasha goes back that he's meshubater to make sure that she's able to make ends meet. So therefore, the whole neder shouldn't have been chal. So Ravashi, she could sort of make ends meet as far as big things are concerned. She could buy bread. She could, lechem yichya adam, bread, water. You know, she has a survival kit, but she's not able to buy luxuries. She's not able to buy meat. She's not able to buy fish, and therefore he's able to take a neder because she can survive, but we're going to tell him that he's got to appoint a partner for the smaller things. Well, honey, dvarim katanim, hey chidami, what type of dvarim katanim are we saying that you need a partner for? Meaning, either regilubhu, if it's things that she's used to having her regilubhu, so then he's meshubah to her, he's meshubah to support her up to her standard. So if she's used to having flesh exact number of times a week, so that's what he's chayiv to do. He has to feed her flesh exact number of times a week. V'lo regilubhu. And if it's something that she's not used to at all, parnis lamala, then you don't need to provide it for her at all. You don't need to appoint a parnis. So what exactly is the case? How do we thread that needle? That the neder is chal, because he's not meshubah to her, but you still need to appoint a parnis, because you have to take care of her. So lo tzricha, no, the Mishnah is not saying that you have to appoint a parnis for dvarim katanim, ella, except for in the following case. The regilubhu base nos. Bebeis Nasa, she had certain luxuries that she was used to in her father's house, but then she fell in love. She was willing to forego those luxuries as long as she was in her husband's house. So Dar Malay, she could say to him, yeah, I was willing to forego those luxuries as long as you were treating me nicely. Up until now, when you weren't going around taking the dharm against me, then I'm not allowed to get hanah from you. So I was willing to forego what I grew up with and what my normal standard of living is. But now you're taking the dharm against me. I don't want to be mochel you on what would have otherwise been your obligation. And therefore, he needs to appoint a parnes. Meaning when the Tosfos understands that when she was mochelas, it was only she was not mochelas al das. That he's going to be madir her, and therefore he's still meshubater. He can't turn around and say, too bad, you were mochelis already. No, the mechila was only al-das that he's not going to be taking the darim. So if he's taking the darim, then that mechila is not going to be chal. So ask the Gemara, if he's mamir aparnas, maishna ad shloshim yom, why does the Mishnah say that only if he's madir her up until shloshim yom, they could stay married, but if it's more than shloshim yom, he has to divorce her? There's a parnas taking care of her anyway. What difference does it make? So ad shloshim yom lo shami ba inshi, up until 30 days, people won't get wind of it. They won't hear about this fact that someone else other than the husband is supporting her, and therefore it's not going to be so embarrassing. But once it's more than 30 days that her grocery bills are being paid by somebody else, then everyone's going to know about it, and it's going to be a big g'nai that someone else is supporting her, and that's why he has to divorce her and give her ksuba. That's not something that a woman could be expected. That type of embarrassment is not something that a woman could be expected to endure. Says Gemara, or maybe there's another approach to our Mishnah. Again, the struggle with our Mishnah is if the neder is chal, why do you need a parnas? If he was entitled to take the neder, that means he's not really obligated to the mezonos. So then why do you need a parnas to provide for the mezonos? So, maybe we're talking about when he was madir, when she was still in Arusa, where he had no chiyuvim anymore. Arusa, miyas lemezoni, but in Arusa, there is no chiyuv of mezonos. It's only from the nisuin. So why would you need to appoint a parnas? It says, Gemara, she gives man velo nisu. That the case is that the time for the nisu came where the Chacham said that you have to get married now, and the husband delayed. If the husband delayed, then he has to support her, and if he's a Kohen, she can already start eating truma. So since our Mishnah is talking about an Arusa, who's a Giazman Velonises, where the husband's Chiyuv, he has a Chiyuv to support her, but only Midrabanan, so his Neder is going to be Chal, but that Chiyuv Midrabanan has to be fulfilled by appointing a Parnis to take care of her. So Mishnah, why is it that up until 30 days he doesn't have to divorce her and we just rely on the parnes, but after 30 days he has to divorce her? We assume for the first 30 days the shliach will take care of his obligations and he'll support her even if the husband doesn't say beferish to him that I'll pay you back afterwards. But tfei, more than 30 days, lo av shliach shlichusei, the shliach is not going to do his shlichus to be mefarnes her because the husband didn't say beferish that he's going to pay him afterwards, and since a Parnes isn't going to work more than 30 days, so Yotiv Yitem Ksuba. Meaning, he can't leave her without support, because Midrabani has a chiv to support her. Parnes is a solution that can only last 30 days. Parnes is not a solution that can last more than 30 days, because the guy's just going to stop supporting her since he has no guarantees of getting paid back. Or, V'Yibay Yisema, another approach to our Mishnah, Shedirik Shiarusa, the Nises. He took the Nedda when she was in Arusa, and the Nedda was Chal, and then they had Nisuin, so now he has to support her. But the Nedda neder is doesn't go away. So you have to be mamid parnis for 30 days. But more than 30 days, it's going to be zila bil milsa, and he divorces her. So says Mar Nisei, so Savra v'kibla. Well, if she had nisuin, knowing that there was this neder in place, wasn't she maskim to marry him, even though she knew that she wasn't allowed to get any support from him? So isn't that an implicit mechila? Why do you even need a parnis? She was mochel the whole thing. So says Mar Da'amra Kasura Nishani Chalul Kabel. That's the kind of thing that in theory people think they'll be able to live with it, but then she realizes when real life hits that it's the kind of thing that she's not able to live with. Says Gemara, we find such a taina when it comes to mumin, that a woman gets married to a man who has mumin, and she says, I thought I'd be able to tolerate these mumin, so she could say afterwards, but I just can't. But when it comes to a neder of mazonos, do we say such a thing that she could say kisvura yisi, but now I realize that I can't? So we have to go back to the original answer of how to understand the Mishnah, and this last answer, meaning any of the original answers, and this last answer is not acceptable. Okay, ad shloshim yom yamin parnas. We then said that the parnis takes care of her for 30 days. Uparnis lav shlichus hakavod. Why does that help? The parnis who's providing for her, isn't he just doing the shlichus of the baal? So why does it help to have a parnis? Shlichus shlodim kamoso. He might as well just feed her himself. He has a shliach doing it. So amravuna ba'omer kalazon eino mafsid. No, the case is not that he appoints a shliach to be mefarniser. He says that anyone who's mefarniser is not going to lose money on the deal. And someone heard him say that and decided that he's going to be the one to be mefarniser. So he was never appointed as a shliach by the husband to be, meaning the husband never identified a person to be the guy to go support his wife. He just said, someone who supports my wife is not going to lose money on the deal. And someone took it upon themselves to support the wife. So says Mar V'chiyamar Achi, Lav Shlichus Ikavid, is that not called a Shlichus? V'atnan, doesn't the Mishnah Maseches Gittin say, Misha Yemushlich B'bor, if a person is in the bottom of a bar and he's going to die from not being able to breathe and from being stuck in the bottom of the bar, and he doesn't want his wife to have to face a Yibum situation, so he decides he's going to divorce his wife, Va'amar, and he says, Kol shomea, kol lo yichtov get lishto. Anyone who hears me, write a get for my wife. So arelu yichtov, they can write a get, and they can give the get to the wife. Now, a get is only kosher if it's done b'shlichus habal. And over here he says, Kol shomea, anyone who hears should do it. And that's considered a shlichus. So how come over here when he says, kol zon, eino mafsid, it's not considered a shlichus? Says Mar Hachi Hashta, you can't compare those two cases. Hasam ka'amar yichtov, hacha mikamar yazun, kalazan ka'amar. Over there he used the lashon of yichtov, which implies take action, go and write. Over here he didn't say go and give mizonos. He said if anyone chooses to give mizonos, they're not going to lose money. But he didn't say yazun, that someone should give mizonos, that whoever here should give mizonos. Says the Gemara, but wait, is it even with Drabban, they were not gozer, that if you say kol shmei eno mafsid, isn't it at least shlichus on a Drabban level? When it comes to a fire that breaks out on Shabbos in someone's house, we allow the homeowner to say that in front of Nachrim that kol hamechabe eino mafsid, anyone who extinguishes the fire is not going to lose out. And they weren't, they did not consider that to be a violation of Amir La'akum, because he's Baal HaMamono and he doesn't want all of his possessions to be lost. And if we don't allow him to do that, to at least say kol hamechabe eino mafsid, he's going to go and extinguish the fire himself and he'll violate Nisr Torah, Nisr Daraisa. So the Gemara is Medayik, Bidaleika Lemute Mai. What's Rav Ashi come to be Mimayit when he says, Bidaleika Yitiru, Lav Lemute Ki Agavna? Isn't it telling us that Shari Surim, that where you don't have this concept of Adam Baal Al Mamono, that by all other Isurim, where goes there that you're not even allowed to use such a Lashon of Kala Shomea Eino Mafsid, anyone who hears me, anyone who takes action is not going to lose out? Like in our case of Amudra Na'a, where you're not allowed to be Mefarnis, Kala Zan Eino Mafsid, because that's considered a Shlichus. So don't you see Beferish from the case in Shabbos that it is considered a Shlichus? Lo, Lemute Shari Surim de Shabbos. No, it's coming to Dafka exclude other cases of Shabbos, because Shabbos is Nisr Chamur. So you're not allowed to say such a Lashon to motivate a guy to do Malacha on Shabbos for you, except for when your house is on fire, because then we're afraid that otherwise you're going to go and you're going to be Mechabi yourself. But maybe in other Yisurim in the Torah that are not Shabbos related, where it's not so Chamur, you are allowed to say such a lashon, and it's not considered that the person is acting as your shliach. So the Gemara is medayik from the Mishnah that they were gozer on the lashon of Kol Shemei Eino Mafsid Masav Rabba, but Rabba says we have Mishnah Masachs Nedarim Hamudra Ano Mechaver Vein Lo Mayochal. If a person takes Nedar Ano from his friend and he doesn't have what to eat, Yelichet Lchen V'Niyah Ragelat. So go to the storekeeper that the makolot that you normally go to, V'Yomelo, and say Ish Ploni Mudra Ano Meni Veni Yodei Ma Esalo. This person has a nedra anav from me, so I don't know what to do for him to be mefarnisim, because he's not allowed to get anav from me. So v'hu nosin lo, then the chenveni can give the guy what he needs, uba, and then the chenveni can come v'notel mizeh and ask for payment from the person who took the neder. So the Gemara is medayik hach yudashari. It's only any yodea ma'ase lo that lashon works. Avol kol hazon eino mafsid lo. He couldn't go to the chenveni and say whoever supports this guy is not going to lose out. So apparently that's considered a shlichus. So it says, well, no, lo mi baya kamar. Lo mi baya kalazanin mafsid li alma kamar. That not only kalazanin mafsid, which is just said to the masses, he didn't direct it to anybody. So that's even, that's for sure allowed. Aval hai, but a chenveni, kim the regulus of a kazal karmelay, and you're going and you're talking to him, command amale zil havle atami, you might think that that's considered like you're telling him, please go support him. So kamash mulan, that even in such a case, the chenveni is not considered your shliach, but certainly in a case of the person is also not considered your shliach. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with going through each and every line of that Mishnah in Maseches Nedarim. Have a great day, everyone.